tragics. We're weekend packers, and we love that's the right. game of golf. And I think that's...
I showed you guys that on the weekend.
Yes, 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 you did. We'll get to that shortly.
All right, guys, welcome to Season 2, Episode 5 of the Golf Days Australia podcast, sponsored by Cobra Puma Golf, Dint Putters, Session Set, and Net Return Australia. Broadcasting to all good major podcasts and services. And remember to smash that follow button and give us a 5-star review where it allows you to. Evening, Nate. DP, how are we, gents?
Good, mate. Good. How are you going, DP?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you, Steve?
Steve, you good?
What's up? I'm doing well, boys. I'm doing well. Been a pretty quiet weekend for me. So, yeah, doing pretty well. A bit of R&R, which was good. But you boys get out for a round this weekend at all?
I did. Yeah? I had a par event. What do you guys think of par events?
Oh, I hate it. I've said this before. I think I put it on the group not long ago. I said par is the worst. Do you already know that I hate par and you're just trying to just reel me in?
I know all of your kryptonite, Nate. Everything you hate.
I hate par events.
Why? Why do you?
We don't even get the chance to make one pointers.
It's the same.
Well, the other day I had 29 points, and buddy, I felt like 15 of them were one pointers. If in a par comp, I don't even get to make those grinding putts for a point. It's just like, there's a minus. There's a minus. Sucks. It's the worst. I hate it.
Lose a ball off the tee, like stuff it.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep walking. I'll walk.
Finally make an eagle or a hole in one. Ooh, I got a plus.
it's the same.
Imagine putting your scorecard of a hole in one, but it's just like there's a plus and then there's minuses and all that. You don't want that.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, what were you even playing that day? It doesn't even count.
It's match play against your handicap, isn't it? Isn't that what they call it?
It's the worst. That's why they have them twice a year at your course.
What about you, mate? We're off the fly here.
I didn't have a round. Some of you might know I do wedding videography as another side hustle as well. So I had my first wedding since COVID. So March 14th was the one before that. But I had one and, 115 people outside in a marquee. It was good to have everyone back in a group again. So hopefully COVID restrictions are coming down, which is good. And I think we might talk about that later on.
Nice wedding, mate.
It was a beautiful wedding, really lovely wedding. I'm excited to shoot it and pretty tired, but didn't get any golf in. I thought I might try and sneak around in yesterday on the Sunday, but I was buggered. Go DP, what do you want?
did you shoot with color film or black and white film?
We work with digital cards these days, DP, unlike when you were married.
Yeah, it's a bit fancy. Don't lose that card. Don't lose that card, but you can make plenty of mistakes, mate.
So that's what it's all about. Fake it till you make it.
Hey guys, was there anything we missed out on talking about last week? I feel like there's a couple of items there that we didn't get to, but we really probably should.
Well, besides the king asking for stuff to be edited out that he then realized was wrong or dumb, which we won't go into, but
yes, go into it. He's not here.
The king can do what the king wants, I believe, and if he asks, it he shall be received. So, anyways, king, where is the king?
He's decided to have a night off. We'd give him the night off. It's his. It's the king and queen's anniversary this week, so he's got the night off, taking the family out for dinner. So, happy anniversary, king and queen.
Was his week last week, his return after 20-odd episodes, and then he's done a run of the following?
I think he got over listening to us ravel on for too long.
He was in for 2 weeks, and he's out for 2 weeks.
We're not going there. I know a few footy players like that. there is a few things we missed last week. I know we're not going to make it all about Bryson, okay? But... Bryson said something last week.
One minute into it, the bloke didn't even play, and you've brought his name up.
Because he said something the other week in an interview about his perception versus reality, and it just amused me how much this guy worked. I don't know if it's his brand or what he does, but the way he talks, I don't know if it's like on purpose to get under people's skin or if he literally is like this in real life, but his perception versus reality thing just cracked me up. He was talking about he's got to work out what is real life and what isn't, and he may think he's doing something with his golf swing, but in reality it's not. And he was talking about it in that way. But I think the better thing was what Double Par was going to talk about, what the prize that he was up for.
So his last, this is Faraday goes, if there was a Nobel Prize for golf, it'd go to Bryson.
But people are losing their mind about him. I don't understand. It's just, I feel like this one win, and it's a major win, and I'm obviously a massive Bryson fan, but I feel like this one win and everyone's just like full turned 180 on the bloke and can't get up him enough about how much he's done and what he's changed with the game and everything else. So I think it's, I don't know, a bit over the top myself, but it is funny how much the media have just jumped on this and all the stats that are coming out about what he's done in the last year. And it is incredible. We talk about the beefed up debate. I think Steve put a thing up on our Facebook group about the difference in stats over one season. And it's quite incredible as well, but I don't know. It's like nobody can do anything but talk about Bryson. I love it.
Yeah, that sparked a lot of conversation in that post. And the question was, when I posted that, is are there any more pros that are going to jump on it and get on the beefed up diet and pound on the kgs, or and if so, who's next? And everyone just jumped on Bryson. And
even the pros were getting there. Matt Miller was putting comments in there. Lincoln Tye was putting comments in there. Paul Muse, our long driver, was there was a few getting involved, and they all had different takes on it. And yes, Lincoln, you are my original beefcake. You was a bit upset that I forgot about him with my beefcake rating system. But look, I think that it'd be silly to not think that people are going to try and do what he's done. But again, I think we talk about his stats way too much. Wolf was out driving him the other week, but yet we're talking about how much Bryson hits it further. I think he was seventh in driving at the US Open. So, you know, he's not out driving everyone by millions of meters.
Yeah. No, and it goes back to what won him that event last week or week before, whatever it was, the major, was his short game.
Yes.
His touch around the green and his putting just got him home. So,
and which I think that opened a lot of people's eyes up to the he won't be able to do it. His back won't be able to survive. It's not going to work. And everyone probably forgot that this guy was a pretty damn good golfer before he even got beefed up. Like, he won some big tournaments. I think he had, you know, 5-7 wins, whatever, won the amateur over there. So this guy wasn't a nobody, did this diet and then came out and has been successful. He was a successful golfer before that, a Ryder Cup playing, President's Cup playing player. So I think people forget that as well. I think people just think that they've only heard Bryson in the last 12 months.
Yeah. So we've gone into this whole thing and normally we go to the PGA. Is that because it was just as boring as batshit or?
Yeah, well, speaking of the PGA, I didn't watch a minute of golf this weekend.
Was there golf on this weekend?
Yeah, the only thing I saw was the winner holding up the trophy saying that it weighs more than his kid.
The Punta Cana.
Corral's Golf Club, Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic. Gents, I didn't watch.
Who was that winner that was holding up the trophy?
Home of the Devil's Elbow. It's called the Devil's Elbow. It's like Amen Corner, but in Punta Cana.
Right.
Swofford, that's it.
He collected $720,000 as well, don't forget. It's the hangover from the major. We called it last week. It was always going to be. It always happens. The following tournament after a major is just tough to get up for. The field is pretty weak. Nice course down there, and I'd love to be down there playing it. But, yeah, I can't say that I was up early for all four rounds. I did watch today's round for a bit, and, you know, he held his nerve. He went in with a couple of strokes behind Long, who just didn't have anything going today at all. But then, came down to those last few holes, and the shot he made on that par three, it was about 170-odd yards. And, you know, with the wind, everyone was coming up short. Hardly anyone was hitting the green. I think there was only a couple of birdies there all day. You know, that shot was about, you know, 8 feet above the hole and made a really nice, delicate putt down there and canned it. And then on the 18th, he, you know, needed par to win. Bogey was going to get him into a playoff with the cucumber double par. You were calling the cucumber to come home today.
I was kicking him home. There were a bunch of nobodies. It was sort of like I think it's cucumber too, not just cucumber.
McCumber. How do you pronounce it? Even?
Yeah, McCumber. McCumber. I don't know. But he had to make par on the last. Hudson did, and you know, 290 odd drive, you know, to carry the traps and carried that, and then he had a shot in that left him with, you know, a big two putt, and his putt to win the tournament was a pretty difficult putt. And, you know, he drained it, and that's his second win on tour now. He won the American Express in 2017 at PGA West, where he beat Adam Hadwin back then by a shot. So, yeah, it's a big win for him, obviously, for his career. He talked afterwards about his family. He's had a son in between those two wins. And, you know, he said that's why he gets up and grinds. It's for his family, and it makes it all worthwhile. So, you know, obviously a great moment for him and a career highlight for a bloke that's worked really hard. And that's what I take out of these tournaments. Although I don't get too excited for them, I try and remind myself that these guys are grinding for this moment, and that could be the pinnacle for him in his career. So pretty cool to see him get a win down there.
He is coming second in the FedEx Cup, just saying.
The FedEx Cup. Can we? Somebody tell me. Give me the rundown of the FedEx Cup points, because I'm pretty.
Well, your man's top. Your man's up top there. 600 points. Harry Higgs, Hudson, Todd Biff with the cucumber.
He's dropped a spot. Higgs, he was fourth last week. He's dropped a spot because he didn't play. Hudson Swafford gone into second place. Whew. It's all happening.
I'll tell you what, Stuart Sink, Matt Wolf, Harry Higgs, the cucumber, Louis Oosthuizen, Mackenzie Hughes, Adam Long, James Hahn. What are the odds that that's your top 10 at the end of the season?
They've all got green FedEx trophies on their.
I think you'll be lucky to be one of those guys in the top 10, or Kobe Bryson. But Zalatoris went into the tourney heavy favorite. He's one to look out for. He's kind of dominated on the Korn Ferry, and someone that is, you know, picked to be a future star on the PGA. So he shot a low round of 7 under today and 65. So he's one to watch. He gets into next week's event now as well off the back of a top 10. So, yeah, I couldn't take too much away from this weekend besides, you know, it was the week after a major. So
how did the Aussies go in the Dominican Republic, mate?
Yeah, there was we had Cameron Percy. Purse had a tied eighth, so he had a 67, 70, 72, 67, minus 12. Matt Jones, always up there, always seems to be consistent, making cuts and just, you know, banking checks. So he had a tied 14th, and Rean Gibson a T21, but Bads and Senden no good. Missed cuts.
Any other takeaways from the tournament? DP, you got plenty, I'm sure.
Oh, mate, I've filled the spreadsheet in, would you believe?
Unlimited supply. Yeah. What does that mean?
there's a double par, though, I think, from Marcel Oliveiras. He's an amateur, though, so I don't want to pick on that poor bastard, but he had a double par. Nelson Ledesmar, he had a double par. Julio Santos, double par. Scotty Harrington had a double par.
A few of them in there.
Rafael Campos. I was actually surprised. Daniel Chopra, he had a bit of a double par too. So, this is what you get when you have a bunch of nobodies, I guess, playing around the golf on the PGA Tour.
Grinding out a win, right?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting any, you know, like it's normally pretty good sort of field, but yeah, this one was full of choppers at the bottom end. So there's hope for us choppers to get on the PGA.
Oh, let's get into around the grounds then. What happened elsewhere?
I've been waiting. Oh, yeah, I haven't cracked my beer yet. I don't know if you beer boys have, but obviously
what have you got?
Shout out to Session Set. I have got a extra pale ale from the Hairy Man Brewery. So Hairy Man Brewery, which is down in Currumburra, New South Wales. So local one down there in Sydney. So, yeah, it's delicious.
DP?
I've got a Craft Brewers, New South Wales, South Coast offer. It looks like Cuppet. It's a Mosaic Session Ale. It's not too bad.
That's, yeah, that's a good one. I like that one. I've also got...
I keep saying Cupid, but come on. Cuppet? Cupid. You just...
Cupid? Yeah, I don't know. We should hit up Session Set and ask the question.
It says CUP.
You just want a cup. That's all I know.
I've got the Slipstream Brewing Co. XPA, the Magic Mile. It's actually quite nice. I think I had this one.
Working quickly as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I need another one.
But yeah, thanks to Session Set. Obviously, we've got the massive deal for our GDA members. So if you want to jump on their subscription cases that they do, takes the guesswork out of picking your craft beers. 16 cans, you get four lots of four in there. Normally $79, but with the code GDA beer, all one word, you get $20 off that. So brings it down to $59. So $59 for your first case with their subscription deal. Free delivery to the Sydney metro area as well. It's a pretty good deal to jump on. They've got a cider case as well if you want to do that. GDA cider. They've got a ginger beer one with that cider one as well. So GDA beer, get your $20 off their beer subscription case. Subscription deal rolls month by month. It's a no lock-in contract. So jump in there and use the code. Thanks to Session Set for keeping us thirst. I don't even know what to say. Keeping our lips wet, our tongues. I don't know. DP's giving me a weird look.
Tongues moist. How good's the word moist.
There's probably 10% of our listeners that have just turned off as soon as you've said that word out of your mouth. But anyway, they stuck around. You're the guys we want. So,
let's get into it around the ground.
Yep, go for it. European tour. We had the Irish Open. So. We're on a few Aussie watches over at the Irish Open. It ended up winning by John Catlin. John Catlin, that's his second win in less than a month. So massive for him. I saw Hendy put a thing out about John Catlin broke COVID restrictions just before his first win. He went to, I believe, a restaurant and got in trouble, got outside the bubble, and then they basically he had to quarantine again. And since he came back from that COVID infringement, he's taken out two wins in a month. So massive couple of weeks for John. So, yeah, in tied third, we had Maverick Antcliffe. So Maverick is Aussie that has been killing it over in the Asian Tour in China for quite a while. So he come over to Europe and got the start that he wanted, got the result that he wanted, I should say, tied third. He was in there with a hunt, in the hunt, which is good for him. We had Lucas Herbert as well, T7, and, of course, the one and only Hendy, T11, and Scriv as well, tied 25th. So how good is that? Hendy and Scriv's with some good results over there. Hendy was getting around the Guinness, talking about it. Double par. You're on him this week, I think.
Oh, fuck, I've outlaid $5 on him for the Scottish Open.
No, wait. It wasn't your $5.
Okay. Might have been a bonus bet that I got. One of me donkeys run second on the weekend. And yeah, but anyway, if it gets up, I still get 1200 or something. It's like he's
1200. What's Hendy paying?
251 to 1.
251 to 1 at the Irish Open. I like those. They are way overs.
Yeah. Scottish Open.
Oh, fuck, did you mention the Irish Open last week? Whatever, it's the same, isn't it? Just the next couple of hundred meters over.
One wears a kilt, the other one. I don't know, chases leprechauns or something. Yes. I don't know.
Let's just, okay.
So, Ryan Fox, did you mention Foxy?
No, I was going to just say, was there any double pars in the Irish?
Ryan Fox started with a double par on the par 4-1, but then he's bounced back with an eagle on the next.
Second. Wow.
So he's gone 8-2. That is awesome. Good luck, Foxy.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive to bounce back from that. But, God, you'd be kicking yourself afterwards. I think he had an 8 there and he finished with 3 bogeys in a row or something.
Yeah, he did.
And then he had an eagle. Like, you throw an eagle in there and a couple of birdies and you're just like, what did I do? But, yeah, first hole. And you had what was the other one that was the 18th hole? Was that over at the PGA?
No, that was again also in Europe.
Yeah.
It says the it's the same one, isn't it? Anyway, some club. Old Hayden, one of our Saffers, Hayden Porteous, has had a massive 12 on the par.
Double par, double bogey.
Yeah. And the pool bloke was, I know, he wasn't doing much chop, but he's finished with a 12. Not good.
But that, it's 7 over on the last hole.
Is that a rage quit?
That was round two. He missed the cut, would you believe?
No.
Did he miss the cut because of that hole? Like, was he under the cut before that, before he went 7 over on that one hole?
Nah, he was plus 9, and then he's ended up at plus 16 after he's had a big dozen. Yeah,
nowhere.
The old dirty dozen.
That was Hendy's best result since he won the Maybank Championship last year. So good to see Hendy's trending in the right way.
20,000 euro too.
20,000. I'll give him a few Guinness. A few Guinness and maybe some new shoes. See what shoes he's going to wear next week.
Highlight ones.
That's it. The Corn Ferry, Jared Wolf. So another Wolfie coming around. He won the Corn Ferry, but Harrison Endicott finally, got the result that he wanted over there as well. So good to see Harrison Endicott get a T8 over there. A few other Aussies were in there, Jamie Arnold, Ryan Ruffles, but they all missed the cut. And then there was no LPGA, no LET this week, but we had the Symetra was on. So Robin Choi I'm going to get in trouble anyway. I pronounce that. It's not our strengths on this podcast. Is names? Is it?
No, not really. It looks like Choi though. So I think you had it right the first time.
You're on mute. Had
Steffi K go?
Kira Kau.
Is it Kira Kau or Kiriaku?
I don't know. But Robin,
it's Kiriaku.
Get it right. Tied 25th and Stephanie Nah T40th as well. So, Robin's had a T11, T9 and a runner-up in the last three Symetras. So, obviously, she is flying the flag really well for the Aussie girls over there. But that is Around the Grounds this week, thanks to Session Set.
Speaking of Amy Walsh, did we see Amy's post?
Yeah. So, we've got, Adam Scott's bag up for grabs on... she's got that up for grabs, raising a bit of money for her game overseas. Last I saw, it was up to about $900 in the bidding. It's probably gone above that now. That was a couple of hours ago I'd seen that. So hopefully that does skyrocket for her, and she gets some good cashola out of that.
Big shout out to our Taswegian, old Joshy Lawrence, chucked a bit in there. It's good to see.
Yeah, get amongst it, guys. If you're out there and listening, I'm not sure how long the bidding process is going to go for, but I'm sure there's other items up for grabs as well. So keep an eye out on Amy's Facebook page for any more items to jump up for bidding, and get amongst it and help support our mate Amy. We're going to have a chat with her again pretty soon, I believe. So. We'll get her back on and have a bit of a chat and see how she's been traveling over there. All right, gents, and let's get into the GDA group highlights. So we've got some tipping sponsored by Bird. Oh, God. Drum roll, mate. You took
I'm doing my own drum roll because DP won't.
Nope. Rigged. It's rigged.
You got the job done again this week. You've had a decent record in our tipping comp. Coming first in minus 51, and second place was Simon Walker on minus 48 with a three-shot win. And you had, eight shots lead coming into Sunday, so it dwindled down a bit.
I'll tell you what, I've had some highlights in the last couple of weeks. I've had a baby arrive. I've had Beefcake win. I've got a new car, and I've won the tipping. And I've got to say the baby coming in is probably number 4 on that list. So it's been a pretty good couple of weeks.
Bryn, if you're listening back to this when you're older.
She's number 3. She's going to be very used to it. Don't worry. But yeah.
Can you imagine? There'll be no such thing as podcasts. When Bryn grows up, podcast. What's that, Dad?
But no, I was stoked with the win. I had a decent lead going into today's round, and I saw it dwindling in front of my eyes. I thought that the way that Long was playing and List and all of them, I thought I was going to get caught, especially when Zalatoris went out and shot 7 under. So, but no, pretty happy to get the win. But literally, all I did was pick the first three names that I recognised. There was a few names on there that I did not recognise, so I just picked the top three, and there you go. Except yeah, I picked my worst player, the worst player in my group I picked to win the whole thing, Henrik Stenson. So in the GDA Tour side of things, I did the worst I could with the group that I had.
I'll have to throw up an apologies to Joshy Lawrence. I got my tips in a little bit late, mate, and you picked me up on it. I hadn't even looked at the leaderboard because it had already started when we were doing our bit of a catch-up last, what was it, Thursday evening, and threw Adam Shank in there, and lo and behold, he'd already had, what, 4 birdies by the time I'd put my tips in. So apologies, mate. We fixed it up. I let you pick a player to replace him, and Aaron Baddeley, yeah, missed the cut. So that serves me right.
That's good work. Good pick, Joshy. What about Brad Gold? Shout out to Brad Gold coming dead last. He picked Arjan Atwal, Wes Roach, Dicky Pride. Who are these blokes? Never heard of them. Dicky Pride.
Couple of them are three blokes he couldn't recognize. He's done the opposite.
A couple of them play at my club. They're on my do not play with fucking list. Dicky Pride. Who's playing with the old Dick Pride? Don't play with Dick Pride.
We know you don't know any of that.
Very good. And then we've got the GDA Tour sponsored by the Golf Factory. No one picked up the tournament winner this week, so the prize jackpots. However, Tristan Dowse takes home the box of balls, being the highest on the leaderboard from those that picked Mackenzie Hughes. A few blokes picked Mackenzie this week. But, yeah, that rounds out the tipping for this week, gents.
What do I get? Some cash and a hat off Birds of Condor. Look out. That's what I need. DP, what?
Can I just – big shout out to the Golf Factory. I don't think they get enough recognition. They actually have a really good left-handers section on their website. So really? For all the lefties out there, and can I just say – We'll go there. I'm going to go there. Nate copped a beating about bagging the old lefties on the old Golf Days Australia page. Golf Factory at Penrith, and I think they're at Camden or somewhere down there. If you're a lefty like myself and you stand on the right side of the ball, you should check them out.
What a waste of website development putting that section in there. You know, you guys have your own, like, there is left-handed tournaments just because. You guys need that. You guys.
Can I just say?
Wow. Yeah, I noticed today. I'm not going to go there because I don't want to reveal who you are. So let's keep going.
Can I just say the National Left-Handed Golf Association of Australia? A big shout out to them. They run a tournament, a national competition every year. Yeah, and you know what? They're easier to win because there's less lefties than there are righties. So the tournament's
100%. This is like, I don't know, it's like creating a D grade in your local club or something for people that just need a help, just a bit of a participation award.
Hey, you want to go there? There's dead set a D grade. When you play A reserve, they just play A reserve because they don't want to call it D grade. Let's be serious.
Mate, we don't have that. We're lucky to have 3 grades on a weekend. So I've never played in a club with reserves or anything like that. I still don't know how that works. I'm getting off track here, but my local club's just started a Sunday comp, and they throw the results up for the, you know, the tournaments during the week. They put a bit of a spreadsheet. Sunday, it gets one line on a Facebook post. Congrats to this person who won Sunday comp with 47 points. You don't see anything else. You don't know where you've come. You don't know how many players have played. It's just a post on Facebook that says congrats. And the person that won had 47 points this week. So I was like, cop that.
Yeah, wow. Chopper.
I'd love a bit of – see, that's a thing, one thing that – I think a lot of people take for granted at their clubs is, you know, we at our club, we have to write our names down on a piece of paper that's stuck onto the pro shop front door to put our time slots down. It's a physical thing that you've got to go and do. We score on cards that get counted up at the end and get entered into GolfLink by the captains of the club. There's no online booking. There's no online tournament sheets or anything like that that we see. It's something that we'd like to get to. And I, every time I go to another club, I just get so amazed with all that technology. So that's something that you should be pretty thankful for that your club's doing for you.
Is that a cost thing, mate? Is it cost?
I think it's a cost thing. I think we've spoken about it, but then when like we've looked into it, I don't think it will be a cost thing. I think it's more just a pulling the finger out and getting it done. We've probably got a really older age group demographic, and it will take a bit of a transition time, and that change that a lot of people are scared of just needs to kind of happen. And I think we're talking about getting it. Well, we're meant to be getting a new clubhouse in the next 12 months. And I believe that the plan is once we have that clubhouse, because we don't have a clubhouse, once we have that clubhouse, they'll move towards that system, whether it's, you know, the My Club or whatever the scoring systems are. Just being able to scan a card and stuff and seeing. I just love the idea of just sitting down, having a beer and watching scores roll in and seeing where you are and seeing where everybody else is.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
That's the whole package of golf.
And getting there and watching that roll through. What would we have? Old mate Ron from Pinjarra, that piss take that Matt put up. That was brilliant. Ron and what was it? Ron Chopper versus Don Flusher. Don comes in with one shot lower than Ron. That was good. But yeah, we've just gone to the MyScore app. And I still hear it over the pro shop counter. Are you using the app or are you using the card? So yeah, it's still a new progress for us, but we've had, I suppose, the scorecard scanners for a while now anyway.
How about this for our big tournaments that we have or our special days, we go over to the Soldiers Club that's across the road. They used to own us, but they don't now. And we used to go over there and we still sometimes do. There is a whiteboard. You write your name on the whiteboard and you write your score on the whiteboard as well. And that's how everybody sees what the scores are for our Leeton and Open or the championships and stuff like that. So, yeah, a little bit different out this way, a little bit old school, just like Double Par's photographer at his wedding.
Yeah. That's an ex-wife too, so we're not going to go there.
All right, mate, guys. Well,
Double Par's available and on the market.
Yeah, baby.
Just get on Tinder and try and find some Double Par action. Grinder.
Not going there.
All right, and speaking of Double Par being on the market, have you got a rant of the week, DP?
Yeah, I do. I this podcast isn't political, but I'm going to take it there. What is going on in Victoria?
Yeah.
Like, I am feeling for these people, and they made an announcement that they were going to loosen some of the restrictions. And I get that everyone wants to be safe, and Dan Andrews is making these decisions for the better of the state. But why the F can't our brethren and sisters in Victoria, metropolitan Melbourne, play bloody golf? It's just ridiculous. I just don't get it, and I don't know if Golf Australia are doing enough. They've released a statement, and it's soft as a marshmallow. Like, I don't know. I just think, as the governing body of our great game for this country, that they should be pushing a little bit harder to get our people in Victoria and especially metropolitan Melbourne out on the golf course as soon as possible. And just from a health perspective, from a mental health perspective, everything that our great game gives to people when they play it, I can't see how they can't do it safely and within the COVID restrictions. Look, happy to listen to you boys, but even just expanding that, the businesses that it can support, and they want to get their economy back up and running, and golf down there would be killing their economy. Like, they have the best golf region in Australia, for God's sake. Like, I don't know. What's your take?
Yeah, well, gents? I think you've seen, and we've spoken to people in New South Wales, people in Queensland, and seen the boom in golf and the golf industry and how it's thriving and memberships through the roof, et cetera, because it was the only sport people were allowed to play for a while there. So it drove people across to golf, and then it's pretty easy to get the golf bug, as we all know. So, and I've got to be honest, when this first all happened back in March, April, I was very much of the opinion that we shouldn't be going out playing golf. We shouldn't go and be doing stuff that we didn't need to do. We should be staying at home and doing the right thing and getting on top of, you know, this pandemic and kicking it in the ass before, you know, it went on. But then I guess I came to realize a bit more about it all and a bit more about, yeah, like you mentioned, the mental health side of thing, the physical and social aspect of it as well, and that being caged up in a house is not ideal. And the fact that we were able to take matters into our own hands with, you know, coming up with regulations and rules for the golf course itself to minimize the risks of COVID, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I don't want to go down that whole well of COVID and you know, all the bullshit that it is there, because to be honest, I've tuned out of pretty much everything COVID-related media at the moment, and I have for the last, you know, 6-7 weeks. But, like, just when you hear what's going on down there and I talk to my brother-in-law and I talk to my sister-in-law and the fact that he, you know, he can't even go out. He's a doctor and he's on the front line, everything else, and he loves his golf, but he can't even go out and have that time. He can't even go and play the game he loves for that mental health, for those other reasons that are so beneficial. So, yeah, I it's so hard, and yet here I am filming weddings on the weekend, playing golf where I want to, but I live an hour and a half above a river, which allows me to do it, and they're not allowed to do it down there.
Yeah.
So it sucks.
You talked before about, you know, the rules that we sort of put in place to allow us to actually play. I'm just looking at that statement that Golf Australia put out. You know, they said, you know, since the beginning of Victoria's COVID-19 second wave, we've been liaising with Sports and Recreation Victoria, Vic Sport, et cetera, and submitted return to play plans to all of those. But in those return to play submission, or in that submission, Golf Australia requested for golf to be played in groups of four, club competitions to be allowed, which is understandable. But that groups of four, why would that be on your recommendation when pretty much the rest of the country, when they went back or didn't even stop, they just reduced the groups down to two to limit interaction time? Why wouldn't that be part of your return to play submission? Like, I don't get that. And I think I echo your thoughts. Are they being a little too soft? Like, are they just letting this happen?
Yeah. We went back in groups of two and then three and then four. It's all about social distancing. I mean, the hypocrisy of it, you can go and exercise and walk around a golf course and play golf, but you can't go with one mate, if that's the compromise, and whack the bloody golf ball. Like, and Dan Andrews is a bloody golfer. Like, come on.
Speaking of that, that brings up, you know, my post of the week, John Payne, and thanks for the contribution, John. You posted up an article from The Age titled "Time to Breach the Bunkers and Flock to the Fairways." Essentially, this is my take from it, but essentially an article by an out-of-touch, near single figure, and I do the quotation marks there, former golfer turned journo, suggesting that golf courses be open to the public as parkland, and they should be limited to golf between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. to allow it to be utilized as parkland outside of those hours. You know, instead of golf being played on it, we're having picnics instead. I don't quite understand that. You know, I think the article is horseshit. B, I sincerely doubt old mate was even close to single figure golf if he's that out of touch with it. One thing I do want to point out, though, is that the article does bring up is the fact that thousands are flocking to golf courses in Melbourne to walk around the course, but you still can't play golf. I just shake my head. I wonder what our old mate Sam Newman thinks of that article. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. There's been a few of the Aussie boys getting pretty around. I mean, a lot of our pros, a lot of our players live down there. You know, Terry Pilkadaris is down there. And Matt Griffin put a post up kind of calling for Golf Australia to actually do something about it. And, you know, like you said, he goes, "It's sad that golf seems to be a sport seen purely by councils through economic means and not by the public health benefits it creates like other sports." And there was a reply from Adam, and he said, "I guarantee that for every one walker who wants a golf course, you'll find three golfers who will explain the social, physical, mental exercise that the course actually gives them. it's organized enough, but creative, a walk just doesn't do that. And I think that's so, you know, so on the point.
Brilliant.
I just shake my head. I don't understand. You know, it's all political, it's all money driven, it's all of those kind of things. I've always got a mate who hates golf and thinks that all golf courses should be motorbike riding tracks, because he's like, they're the best motocross tracks I've ever seen, and you guys have got to go around hitting white balls on it. So you know, it's a scary time, and that economic thing really worries me as well. Obviously, for a lot of those courses down there that are going to have to close, that are struggling big time through this period, like, how do you keep the maintenance of your course going when you've got no money coming into it?
Yeah, it's tough.
And you know, how many member, like, we talked about it out, you know, when we had a little closure about memberships, and a lot of us were like, well, of course we'll keep our membership going, like, you know, just because we can't play, you want to look after your club, look after your club. There's a lot of people down there that can't even go to work, that might be on JobKeeper now, Job Seeker, or whatever it is, that probably can't afford to just be paying for nothing, which a lot of them would have to do at the moment by paying for those memberships.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I look back at that article and there's so many things, so many holes you could poke through it. You know, in some of the analogies that he uses there and statistics he uses, you could just rebut that pretty simply. And I can't handle the fact that people are walking courses and enjoying time. I'm happy for them to enjoy their time, but to be walking on a golf course yet and being allowed to do that, yet we can't get guys onto the course, guys and girls onto the course and playing comp, are just helping those golf courses out. Like those guys that are walking and enjoying some time on the golf course aren't paying $2, $5 to be able to get on there, are they? They're not members. They're just using it as public land to get on there and walk.
And to be honest, there's probably a lot of people that are using this COVID thing as an excuse to try and look at closing courses down to make money off it, to reduce the – they'll say they put parks there, but they'll also put it into zoning for houses and real estate and everything else, because that's worth way more to a shire or to a council than probably what a course is sitting there. So, you know, I think Victoria Park, the golf course in Brisbane, I think it was, where that closed down for a park that they were making, and I think maybe zoning some residential and that as well. So, you know, it's happening all over, and I feel like people are just jumping on the back of COVID as well to you know, push their agendas.
Yeah.
That poor old media guy, what do we call him? Journo. He might have been just locked up too long, Steve-O. You got to, he's off the bloke. I mean, at least his compromise involved golf for a couple of hours in the middle of the day. So that's better than what bloody...
But is it 10 till 3? That's permanently. He's not saying just during COVID.
10 till 3?
Yeah, he's saying permanently shut him outside of that and let people use
Even
him as...
Even teachers can't play then.
Hey, I don't do the Twitters much, right? But I got on the Twitters to look at this Golf Australia statement. This is the stupidest thing I've ever freaking read, and I'm going to read it out. Not being able to play golf is the first time some of these rich white men have been told no for something or not gotten their way and not to enjoy their pain, but it's good for them to finally understand what it means being left out. This bloke is so out of touch of what golf means to people in Australia and what the demographic is that plays golf.
Wait, who said that?
Angus Goyal. Like, I shouldn't give him any time, but this was a response to Golf Australia's Twitter.
Yeah, right.
Bagging rich white men, and I'm like, you have no idea. Come down to my club. There's not many rich white men. There's a whole bunch of middle-aged everythings, ladies, men, young people, old people. It is not.
But I guess that goes with it. That and that just explains the stereotype of what golf is as well. It's all country clubs and elitists, and, you know, down on the sand belt as members of, you know, Royal Melbourne and that kind of stuff. So. You know, that's the stereotype that I guess golf gets overall.
Yeah. Might put up a poll in the stories tomorrow or something and ask the question.
Are you a rich white man?
Maybe not that one. But
are you a rich white man that's been told no for the first time during this COVID period?
I'm sure plenty of old rich white men have been told no a few times before. I might throw up a post tomorrow or something.
I think Hugh Hefner ever got told no.
Don't know. Maybe a few times.
He did, right. But money can change an answer.
But no.
All right, and we've just played into the hands of the old mates, rich white men comment. No, all good. All right, gents. And so any other rants we want to throw out there this week?
We didn't talk about Payne's Valley, did we, last week?
I think we brought it up, but it was on during the week.
We talked about that it was about to happen, before the US Open, that Tiger Woods and that were playing in that charity match, or they were going to be playing. But that course, that Payne's Valley that Tiger opened, that he designed, is ridiculous. That is a course for me that has immediately gone onto my bucket list top five as of that one round. And pretty much just seen that 19th hole. If you haven't had a look and you haven't seen it, go and have a look at Payne's Valley 19th hole. There's a video of them making it and showing it with the huge rock wall, with the waterfall, with this island green. It was incredible. We may have spoken about it last week because I think I asked Double Par or someone how many times you'd... Oh, okay, Double Par, how many hits out of 100 would you land on that island green?
What's the distance? Because they had, like, I think there's six of them played on it, right? They had... Who'd they have there? They had the Black Knight and...
Jack Nicklaus and
Jack and Gary, yeah. So, and they got on there. They didn't look like they were hitting hybrids or anything. So if it's
They didn't look like they were off the back tees as well. It's a 19th hole, so I couldn't imagine it's any more than 100 metres.
Tiger tees.
Yeah. 100 metres downhill. It's a pitch and wedge for me. I'm taking pitch and wedge in. I'd be able to land it.
Yeah, but okay, out of 100?
Oh, 77?
Yeah, I like that number. We'll get onto the guys at Payne's Valley, and I reckon they'll let us film a challenge there. We'll go over there and hit 100 balls.
100 balls, double par, 100 balls. 77 or more.
But yeah, that Payne's Valley just, like I said, if you haven't seen it, go and have a look. It was a pretty cool little course, little competition that they did, mic'd them all up. They were very chatty. I think Joshy's boy, Rory McIlroy, was talking about how good Domino's pizza is at one stage, how much he's on a Domino's binge. So I'm sure Joshy's probably ordered four lots of Domino's since hearing that. Just to follow in Rory's footsteps. But, just a cool course. And I just wanted to throw that out there and just say, if you haven't had a look, Payne's Valley, 19th hole, go and have a look. The video of them making it, incredible. Speaking of Tiger.
That island green, it's not a floating island or anything. Like, they can't move that up and back. No. Like, that would be...
How good would that be?
That would be pretty cool if you could move it.
It was like the President's Cup where they were chipping out to that island green in the Yarra Valley, the Yarra River, just, move it out, the pontoon.
Yeah.
Stay in the same spot.
Imagine if it moved while you were teeing off. Like, not just,
like a video game.
Yeah.
Moving target. I can't hit a still target, let alone a moving one.
$250, I believe, US dollars to play that. So it's about half the price of Pebble Beach.
Just the one hole.
Find out,
you get 19.
You get better value. You get an extra hole there.
I like it.
Yeah.
True. It's like Barn Bugle, the Lost Farm. There's a 19th there as well.
There is, 13A in there. Is it 13A and B?
18A, 18B or whatever.
Yeah, I've never played there. Haven't been fortunate enough.
But speaking of Tiger, now Tiger's putter, it wasn't even Tiger's putter. It was a copy of Tiger's putter, the Scotty Cameron Newport that we all know, the one that he's won a heap of majors with. This wasn't even it wasn't the real deal. It was a copy that's there for Tiger. It was there as a backup for him to use if something happened to his putter during a round. If it got smashed and he needed it, it was there. How much do you think that went for in an auction? He never used it. It was just a replica.
That's a good question.
And then my next question is, what do you think the actual Scotty Cameron is worth? Because they've estimated it.
Well, Scotty Cameron's are overrated, right?
Don't get me started. Did you listen to my rant last week?
I'm going to say I'll throw out $50,000 for the replica.
Replica putter.
Nah, it's going above that, right? It's going.
I don't know where to start. I don't want to go way overs.
120K.
For the replica.
For the replica.
$154,000.
Yeah. It's Tiger,
for the
mate.
Replica putter.
It's the goat.
Was never, ever used.
So the actual one.
He produced one or two extra putters for Tiger per year that he would practice with or keep them handy in case it was needed. And this is one of those replicas.
That's so ridiculous. Per year. So there's two per year. So if you add that, do the quick math, there's actually a decent amount of those around.
Yeah, but this is weighted perfectly. It's got his name engraved in it. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell besides probably the wear mark in the middle. It's not there like he does have on his his new board. So what do you think his real one's worth? A replica's worth $150,000.
The one he's used, you reckon?
There's plenty of rich golfers out there, I suppose.
Three
rich white men.
Double.
I'm going more. No, I'm going way more than that. I'm in the easily in the tens of millions.
15 majors, one with the putter.
Oh, with that exact putter.
Yeah, he's the exact one, the one that he's used. Posthumous, it'd be Jesus. I don't know when we'll talk about that, but I'm in the tens of millions.
Do putters die? I don't think putters die.
Tens of millions.
Do putters die? Yeah, that's what I meant.
They've estimated it. I'll put you out of your misery. 3 to 5 million for that.
Yeah. But to Steve's point, if he does go off with the fairies, it'd be worth more for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy because you think if he's second to Jack and he doesn't break Jack's record, like, you've bought the second best ever result, putter kind of thing. Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's crazy that a piece of metal could be worth 3 to 5 million that a guy's used for sport. I'd like to look up, auction. I like all that auction, and just, I love hearing about absurd amounts that people pay for shit. I'd like to see what else has gone for that kind of range in other sports.
But what do you compare it to? Like, I mean, Bradman used more than one bat, so you can't compare it to that from an Aussie perspective.
What's the most expensive Babe Ruth sports memorabilia that's ever been bought? It'd be interesting.
Michael Schumacher's Ferrari.
You see his son raced his old one the other week. His son raced it the other week. He raced one of his old Formula One cars. It was pretty cool to watch.
Too soon talking about Michael Schumacher, DP.
Have we got anything for controversy corner? I've got one if I can throw it in there.
Yeah, get in there, Steve-o.
So played on Sunday this week, and I tried to sneak in around before getting off to the footy, and saw a social clubs group. With a spare spot in it, so I jumped in there before 7 o'clock in the morning. Just jumped in there and rocked up, and only one of the other three had turned up, and it was in between a heap of other social clubs playing off. So we were going to try and squeeze in between them, and sure enough, I get down to the tee box, get called up for him and I to tee off, and I'm standing there on the tee box with about 25 other blokes there from the social clubs just waiting for their turn to hit, and my playing partner's not there. He's turned up to the course and he's been called out to jump on the first tee box, but he's not rocked up. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and then the group in front have cleared their way, so I'm like, well, stuff this. I'm just going to hit and go. And, in front of about 25 blokes, I've absolutely piped one, which was a big highlight from my round and probably the only one from my round. And then it comes over the loudspeaker that old mate has already teed off and is a few groups ahead of me playing on his own. And I'm like, I'm trying to play comp here. And he's already gone off as a single on his own, turned it into a social round for himself, and I'm trying to play comp here. Like, what the hell? So, they've said just tee off on your own. So in that, part of the COVID rules, and we were talking about before, the committee has agreed that because there was rules to play as a pairing, if your partner didn't turn up, you could score yourself. And I'm thinking, I can't do this, because if I have a cracking round and come in with 40 points and scored myself, it's just not a good look. So I've made a beeline to try and find this bloke so I can pair up with him at least. Went down the first, got onto the second tee box, and the group in front of just said, you know, do you want to just play through us? And I said, yeah, sweet, I'll just play this hole out with you. And then did the same with the next group, and then finally caught up with him and played, I don't know, 15 holes with this bloke. But it was so frustrating, because I didn't want to just have a cracking round and then score myself. I didn't end up having a cracking round anyway. I had 12 points on the way out but 20 on the way back. So scoring by yourself though, gents, what are your thoughts?
Let's talk about that.
Scoring by yourself.
That can't happen.
Yeah, I did it once during the early stages of when the rules changed, and said to myself, that's not going to happen again, because my playing partner didn't turn up on the morning. He was still in bed 3 minutes before the tea time, and I came in with like 23, 24 points from memory, and knew the whole way around, I knew I couldn't have 40 points. I couldn't have, you know, even my handicap, really, because it just looks dodgy. I just wasn't in it from the word go. It wasn't the greatest round.
You can't trust people that you're playing with to count properly.
Yeah.
There's fuckers that cheat with, they're playing with three other people next to them that are watching. I just don't know how management can decide that it's okay to score yourself. Yeah, we're scoring our cards at the moment, but you're still meant to score your marker in the marker spot as well, and kind of make sure that you've got the right scores down, which I think I don't understand that either. How you can't just give the other person somebody else's card in that group, and then you're just touching, you know, I'm scoring Steve and I've just got Steve's card and I sign off on his score and he's scoring me on his card and he signs off on his card for me. Like, I don't understand why we have to just fill out our own card instead of just swapping with the pro card by giving us somebody else's. But I think imagine having the round of your life on your own. There's no way. I'd be crucified at our golf course. I get crucified anyways if I have a decent round. So how can you do it on your own?
I was tempted to just get the camera out in case something happened and just have it recording the whole way around, because I just didn't want to play a full round scoring by myself. I wasn't into it. It was really difficult. And that's why I made a beeline, or at least I played, you know, at least two holes with a group. I played the first one by myself, and I had a good hole, but played the first one by myself, and then the next two holes I played with the groups and then caught up with old mate.
Can you play club championships on your own? Because I'll come and join up.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen in a heartbeat. I'm sure committees.
See, we have our social thing, which is called Twilight Golf, and it's just a social. You play nine holes throughout the week, and you know, you're in teams of seven or teams of eight. Your best five scores go through, and if you play on your own in that, you automatically get docked two shots on top of whatever you put in with your card. But people just take two shots off their score on the scorecard when they hand it in. So if they've had a 39, they go and write a 37 down on their scorecard because they know they're getting two shots. Like, everyone talks about it. So I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And, yes, it's a social. It's all fun, blah, blah, blah. It's rigged. But it's all about just getting out there and having some fun. I just don't know how that works. Imagine that. A single person on their own wins a comp.
Yeah. Both those
double par would win some comps.
You probably would.
I am. I play with myself a lot. What do you mean? Why are you harassing solo players? It's all right to play by yourself.
Isn't that with Mrs. Palmer though? It's not by yourself.
I think it's a bit out of control. Marking your own card. How many putts you give yourself, Steve? You give yourself a couple of putts, or?
Seriously, the time I played on my own. Yeah, it was difficult.
I don't know if I'd be able to myself play a full round on my own and seriously not take one gimme or a lip out that got badly burnt or something, and then just count in. I need other people there for accountability as well. Every time I go and have a social hit on my own, I'm hitting, if I duff a chip or whatever, I'm dropping another ball and trying to hit that close. Like, it would just be so hard.
I've got a story. I just remembered. So, and what you said, Steve-O. So, I was playing with a bloke, and we're at the furthest part of the golf course, and this bloke needed to do a shit. He said, I can't. I've got to go. So, he'd rung the pro shop, and they'd come out and picked him up in the car and took him back to do to his shit. And I'm sort of going, well, I want to putt out. So, I put my phone on my buggy. Film. I missed the putt, so it didn't matter anyway. And I two jabbed.
And then you go back and film it again.
And I showed him. When I got there.
Yeah, look, I three jabbed. I promise. Look here. Look at my video.
But it was like you just. What do I do? Even though you know you're not doing anything dodgy, there's that whole perception versus reality. Back to fucking beefcake. Yeah.
Hang on. How good is your club that they'll go and pick someone up that needs to do a shit?
Oh, that's a good effort.
It's pretty awesome. I can tell you another
I've got another story now. So I was playing at Lyonnais Golf Course, and Thursday mornings is me and another guy, and we always play with these two oldies, lovely blokes. I can't even remember their name. I'm sure they're both dead. Rest in peace. But we were playing with them years ago, or every Thursday morning. Oh, they'd have to be. They were old.
Don Chopper and Don Flusher. We'll just call them that.
Yeah, and then we're coming up 17, and so at Lyonnais, 17's up the hill, and then 18's a par 3 downhill. He hits his tee ball of 17 left. He goes right and just takes off to the clubhouse. I had no idea what had happened, or you know, but his mate's like, don't worry about him, like we're just playing out. So I was like, he was on a good score as well. Anyways, he'd taken some what's the medication to get laxatives. He took a heap of laxatives that morning, and they hadn't kicked in before he went to golf, and it kicked in on the 17th, and he said I had to go. So he just took off his little push buggy, the little like battery on it, battery remote control, I swear that was pulling him there. But the laxatives kicked in on the 17th, and he was very lucky that we were close to that clubhouse, because that's the only spot on the course that he could have made it back from. Oof. Double par. Did you have another one?
No, we're not going to go there, but there's a golf club up in Queensland, and I want to apologize to the greenkeeper that found my my golf tower that may have been
sacrificed.
I know you boys have seen the photo, so... Apologize now to that golf club. We won't mention the name, but yeah.
That was vile. That was vile. All right. Look
up the lemon party. Anyways.
let's finish up controversy corner right there, gents. And
hey, wait, a quick one.
Oh, go for it. All right.
Brooks v. Koepka. Oh, Brooks v. Koepka. Can we start that again?
Well, go again. Let's go.
No, fuck it. I'll own it.
Don't end that.
Quick one.
You're not the king. Good one.
There you go. Bryson versus Brooks in a cage match. Yeah. I heard Ian Poulter was talking about it on his Instagram the other night. Someone proposed it to him, and Poulter said he would pay whatever he could to be front row for that fight. So, one, would you watch it? The answer is yes. You're going to watch it, absolutely. Of course. Two, is it Koepka a lock favorite in that battle?
No.
Bryson could get him?
I reckon Bryson could get him. Just looking at his swing speed alone tells you he's still quick off the mark.
I feel like Bryson could be one of those guys, but as soon as he get punched, he'd like cry to mum or something.
Oh, he'd never been punched in the face before. So
I feel like he's kind of one of those guys.
Yeah.
I love your beefcake. And Brooks. Take that away. But I just feel like Brooks is a problem. I think you might have a glass jaw.
He got picked on at school. He's been punched for sure. Poor old Bryson.
Yeah. Do you reckon he'd flinch at the thought of another one?
Yeah.
He'd still flinch. Yeah. Oh, no, I get that.
How good would it be?
Be quick though.
Nah. It'll be over. Yeah. First round. Koepka would submission him for sure.
All right, Brooks. Well, instead of punching the drywall, let's get back into the cage with Bryson. Come on, mate. Let's just get back on the golf course, Brooks. Jeez, I don't know what's going to happen with him. Where's he end up at the end of this season?
Yeah, he's
does he have does he have a win in 2020-2021 season?
Yeah, diffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll still see that in him.
He won't win another major. I'm just putting that out there.
His Twitter feed at the moment to see what he's been up to, because we talked about it last week, punch and drywall, whether he'd actually put something on there about his mate Beefcake. I don't think he's done anything in that rivalry.
He's just pulling Jenna Sims. Oh, no, that was DJ pulling Gretzky.
DJ, yeah.
It's all the same.
Can I just say, in the spreadsheet, you wrote Brooks versus Koepka.
Yeah, I know. That's why I read it straight out. But don't worry. I'm not going to do a king and just be like, hey, can you edit it? You know, I made a mistake. I made a mistake like talking about how good Morikawa is, even though he missed the cut in the US Open.
Oh, no. Played with the new ball all weekend, king. Boys. Played with the new ball on the weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, played what did you the, play?
Played with the pie cost.
Don't.
Steve. Serious, play with, Steve, play with don't. The pie cost.
Don't.
Not even.
Come on. Come
not
on.
Even.
What's
not
a pie
even.
Cost? About 450.
You had to say it. I was hoping that our listeners would go, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It's like that. Because you were using that the other ball, the up dog.
The up dog, yeah.
Cool.
Steve, anyways, cool. Moving on.
Yeah, I've seen that one before. We've got the Sanderson Farms Country Club of Jackson up in the PGA this week. Is this another one of the Punta Cana?
Sanderson Farms Championship. Come on, it's a championship. Look, it's a better lineup than the Punta Cana or whatever that was. Henrik Stenson, Brant Snedeker, Sung Jae Im, Scotty Scheffler's back, who you'll probably remember was pulled out of the US Open because he was positive with COVID or had a COVID positive test result. So he'll be back. Sebastian Munoz will defend his title in Mississippi. He defeated Sung Jae Im last year in a playoff. So and don't forget, double par, 500 FedEx points up for grabs.
Huge. That'll be the highlight. Yeah, some actual names that I freaking know this week. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I might have to watch.
There's a few names there, and it's not a bad little course, actually, Country Club Jackson. It's got those real small and tricky greens, so I think it'll still be around that minus 15 to minus 20 will win it, as per seems to be the PGA regular schedule winning results. But, yeah, we're down in Mississippi. Who's winning?
I've got more information on the Scottish Open than I do the PGA. I can't find a form guide for the PGA this week, which is frustrating because I want to put some money on it.
Double par, you got anything?
Oh, yeah. You got to go that Brant. You spelled his name wrong. Snedeker. Snedeker's got it for sure.
Of course, he looks like, you know, the alien off The Simpsons.
Isn't there two? Aren't they brothers?
Yeah, the two aliens. Yeah, have a look at that. If anyone's looking, go look at Brant Snedeker, and it's with a T at the end of Brant. Brant Snedeker, and look at his eyes. Brant. His eyes are like, they're like one eye, Snelly. His eyes are so small and close to each other. You should see them.
Haven't you got mirrors at your joint, Nate?
No, mate. Don't need them.
Snedeker needs the win because he needs some FedEx Cup points.
Yeah. Needs to get it early on.
He does. Yeah. Needs to catch up to Hudson.
Well, anyone with over 100 points that bags this week will take out number one spot and get over Bryson. Is he playing? He's not playing this week for sure, right?
Nah, no way.
When's his next tournament coming? When is he committed to? Oh, actually, Tiger, he's committed to the Zozo. Did you see that come out this week?
Yeah, well, he's got to defend his title.
He's got to defend his title.
But there's Zozo. It's not over in Japan. They're having it over here. But we've got the Shriners. The Shriners is the following week. The Shriners is always a good one. That's the hospital for children.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of gets them back into it. And then we've got the CJ at Shadow Creek, great golf course. And then Zozo. And then we're creeping up to the Masters. We've got back to back majors and Masters. How weird is that?
It's so beautiful.
It's going to be really interesting. I can't. It's November, November 12th. We've got to wait, but it's not too far till we get to talk Masters.
Are we going to Gogglebox Sunday coming down
We need to do something. We need to do something with that. We'll think of a few things there. But I've got my pick for this week because the Sanderson Farms is, you know, it's to me, it's the second most important behind the Masters. I've got Sungjae Im getting home this week. He knows the course, lost in the playoff there last year. He's my pick to win.
I'm just going to have to go who else I know is actually playing and go with Scotty Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler, come out from the positive.
Yeah.
Steve-O, Badley's playing, mate, if you want to go back to back with Bads.
Bounce back from missing the cut, maybe.
Yeah, he's due for a win.
Yeah. He's due for a win, yeah. Look,
Zach Johnson's playing. Stuart Sink. Stuart Sink's already won. He's playing. There's a few options there. I think Sergio's playing. Louis Oosthuizen.
DJ's playing. DJ Trent. DJ Trahan.
JT?
JT's playing.
Nice.
CT's playing.
It's JT Poston if you're just listening to
The cucumber's back.
The cucumber. There you go. Yeah. Get on him for a top 10 each way bet.
For sure.
So what's happening in Scottish Open? You said you knew more about that. Double par. Did you have something to add for the...
Yeah, mate. No Higgsy.
Harry Higgs is out. That's all right. Scottish Open, Tommy Fleetwood, favourite, $11. Lucas Herbert. So talk to some of the Aussies in the field. Lucas Herbert is at 36. Scrivs at 61. Minwoo Lee, 131. And Hendy, as we've already talked about, has a bonus bet, $5 put against his name from 1DP, is at 251-1. So there's a few Aussies in the field there too. Lucas Herbert, I think that's actually really good value. $36. He's got some decent form.
Fleetwood's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
He just seems so... I really like Tommy Fleetwood, but I feel disappointed every time I really get behind him. I feel like he's got so much potential there. It's just untapped. Yeah. I feel like it's one of those ones that as soon as he kind of cracks it, he's going to go on a run, but he just never seems to do it. The best-dressed homeless man in the world.
I love that. Those comments.
Can we just confirm Nate said he gets disappointed when he gets behind Tommy Fleetwood? Is that what you said?
Same as getting behind double par.
No one's ever been disappointed by me.
I don't know. I was asking his wife. I tell you what, 6.2 million euros going over there at the Scottish Open and at the Renaissance Club. I love Lynx Golf. I love the Scottish Open. So that will be, I will hands down be watching that more than Mississippi with the Sanderson Farms. I love the European Tour. I besides the big ones in the PGA, I find that I spend more time watching the Euro. Maybe it's because the time difference is good for us as well when I'm going to bed late at night.
Yeah.
But I feel like the golf over there is much more entertaining. Personal preference.
Here's a grab for the Instas this week. Big shout out to Hendy. If I get this 1200 up, I'll pay for his postage on his golf ball.
Oh, that's a big call.
Oh, no, right?
But is he going to score a double par? Because he has to get one more, right?
Yeah.
Is he going to score a double par and win the tournament?
Fuck me. If he does that. If he does that,
I want you to find out if anyone's won a tournament with a double par.
You've asked this before. We'll do some research. You see my spreadsheet, right?
What spreadsheet?
You are kidding me. I'm not doing that. I'll buy Hendy, if he does that, a case of Guinness.
Ooh.
Because he'll need it after winning however many million
friend of the
euros.
Podcast.
You think he'd fly a message to him as well.
he'd fly us over there, wouldn't he, if he got up?
Yeah, of course he would. Friend of the pod.
If it wasn't COVID, he'd say. Great excuse. That's what I'd be using for everything. I'd fly his over, boys, but COVID.
All right, guys. Well, that's a wrap on this week's episode. Take it easy. Enjoy golf. And we'll see you next week on the Golf Days Australia podcast.
Au revoir, laddie.
Oh, I love it, double par. Huge shout out before we leave. Cobra Puma, we gave that driver away. Jaden Naismith, that should be rocking up on your door this week. So massive thanks to Cobra Puma. Have a great week, guys. Later.